Shalom. It's good to be here with you. You sound kind of tired. Rough day? Anybody get a nap? How many got a nap? Okay, Sunday's nap day. So then you're refreshed, ready to go. It was a nice day. Hope you had a great day. Spend time with the family, catch up, whatever you have to do, and you're back here this evening. I appreciate that. Just a reminder of some of the literature in the back. If you want to receive Israel, My Glory, we want to give it to you, although most of the magazines are gone, but you can still sign up to receive the magazine if you give me your name and address. There's other literature back there. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer those questions. Yiddish. Anybody know any Yiddish words? Okay, Ron. Let's hear what you know. What's it mean? You can't just say it and not tell us. How you doing? Okay, good. Anybody else? You ever hear the word schlep? Oh. In fact, a schlep is someone who kind of his hair's messy and his shirt is out of his pants. And, in fact, a schlep usually will deal you schlock. You ever hear schlock? Schlock is not the good stuff. It's the leftover stuff. You ever hear the word kibitz? Kibitz means to talk a lot. We were just kibitzing. When I was growing up, I heard those kinds of words all the time. In fact, it's estimated that there are some 500 Yiddish words that have permeated the English language. So you can actually look them up in the dictionary. But there's some phrases. They're old phrases, and they probably date me, but maybe you've heard some of these particular phrases. Or, I need it like I need a hole in the head. That comes right from the Yiddish. There you go. A translation by Ron. There you go. Or, yeah, he's a regular genius. Or, it should happen to a dog. That's from the Yiddish. Or, you should live so long. It's taken right from the Yiddish. There's one particular word that I heard all the time. It's a word called Mensch. Are there any Germans here? Anybody German background? Okay, you know what Mensch means. You never heard it before. Okay. Mensch from the German literally means human being. But in the Yiddish, it carries a little bit more. Let me give you an example. When I was young, little boy, my parents would see other little boys my age. Somehow I would always look like the schlep, and the little boys would look, you know, their hair was groomed, everything was in place, and she would say, "Why can't you be a mensch?" When I went to college, back in the days that I was in high school, there was long hair. My father told me, as long as you're in high school, you'll keep the hair the length I want you to have. But once you graduate high school, you're on your own. Fine. I graduated high school, didn't know anything about the Nazarite vow. Those of you look it up in the Bible, a razor never touched my head from that time on. In fact, by the time that was June I graduated, a razor didn't touch my head. So by the time I came back home from college at Christmas break, well, my mother said, "Where's your face?" Couldn't find my face. And so my mother would say, "Why can't you look like a mensch? Why can't you be a mensch?" Mensch carries with it the idea, the idea of helping someone in distress, encouraging people, being a kind person. The keys to menschhood are character, dignity, being responsible, or simply doing what is right. And this evening, what I'd like to do is help you to become mensches. But not just a mensch because your hair is groomed or because your clothes are right, but a real mensch in relationship to Jesus Christ. In Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, you don't have to turn there, but it simply says this: "He hath shown thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before God." That's what we want to talk about this evening. I want you to think in terms of becoming a mensch for God. And the Bible tells us how we can be. Three ingredients. To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before God. The menches of the world are on display. They are examples to the world of what kindness, justice, and humbleness is. Certainly the great example of a mensch is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. In fact, the prophet Zechariah said, "Rejoice, O greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." Justice, mercy, and humility. You know, today there's not a lot of justice, is there? I should tell you this story. I told you I would be telling you stories. A number of years ago, when my daughter was being carried by my wife, my wife wanted ice cream. My wife likes ice cream. So, boy, she likes ice cream when she wasn't pregnant, let alone when she was pregnant. And she said, you know, it's about 11 o'clock at night. I was visiting my folks, and she said, "I really want some ice cream." Okay, I'll go. So my parents had a driveway very, very long. It was 11 o'clock at night. I'm pulling out of the driveway, not paying any attention. There was a black car parked right under a tree. And remember, it's 11 o'clock at night. So I back up, never saw it, and hit the car. Pop the headlight. Get out of the car. Get out a pad and paper, and I'm going to write this person a note. I just broke their... I realize now this is going to be the most expensive ice cream I ever bought because I got to pay for whatever this is. So anyway, I write a note, and my mother sees me. And she's on the front porch of the house, and she says, "Get out of there. Get out of there." I'm saying, "Mom, what are you talking about?" So anyway, I go get the ice cream, come back, and my mother said, "What are you, crazy? Meshuggah, what are you, nuts? What's wrong? Why don't you just drive on?" So, I mean, who's gonna know? I said, "Mom, I can't believe you're telling me. You never raised me to be this. What are you doing? She said, "You know, we've been hit twice. Two different times parked in a parking lot. Our car almost completely demolished. No one ever left us a note. There's no justice in the world. You should have just gotten out of there." I said, "Well, Mom, forget it. I left her the note. Forget about it." Next morning, we're upstairs. And obviously there's phones, extension phones. Phone rings. I pick up the phone the same time my mother picks up the phone. It's the woman whose car I hit. I didn't even know who it was, but it was her car. And the woman says, "Oh, just want to tell you, I've been hit so many times. No one ever left a note. I know your son wrote me a note, told me he's from out of town. I'll cooperate anyway. What a good boy. Yeah, it's just great." And so my mother said, "Yes, we did raise him to be an honest child." Which she did. The point is, we often ask today, is there justice? Is there truly justice? I'm not so sure we have true justice in the world today. I'm not telling you that life is fair. If you're a parent, you've probably used that line with your children. If you haven't, you will. It's just the way it is. Things aren't always fair. When we read the Bible, however, we find out justice the way it is. Isaiah the prophet says, "The Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those that wait for him." Isaiah said in Isaiah 61, I, the Lord, love justice. Revelation chapter 19, "I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war." God indeed is our great example of what justice is. But how do you think in terms of justice when it comes to the rubber meeting the road. Let me give you an example. I have a dear friend of mine, Christian man, was in his own business, in the advertising business. Had this business, had a number of clients, but worked his way to a point where there was one huge client that he had. So instead of continuing these several small clients, he poured all his resources into this big one. Big, big account. Well, with that kind of account, they accumulated some credit. And in order to accumulate some credit, he had to accumulate credit. Those of you who are entrepreneurs or have your own business, you can understand that. Except something happened. They had just wanted him to do a big project. You see, they never told him they were in trouble. And in fact, they filed Chapter 11. And he had extended himself in order to service them to the point that he was in major trouble. Major trouble. I'm talking big time trouble. He went to the elders of his assembly. He was going to an assembly. And it was amazing that the elders had different advice for him. What could he do? There were some elders, good men, who said, you know what? They filed Chapter 11 to you. You ought to file Chapter 11 to the people you have. It's only right. You're going to be stuck. You could lose everything. There are others who said, to be honest, we've never heard a story like this before. We're not sure what to tell you. We just don't know. We need to pray about it. Well, he walked out of that meeting, and he was, to say that he was burdened would be an understatement. I mean, those of us who've ever had financial difficulties, I'm telling you, it weighs heavy on you. And yet, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have principles. Well, he prayed about it a long time. He wasn't comfortable with filing Chapter 11. And so on his own, he wrote several letters. In fact, each of those letters would go to the debtors that he had. And he told them the truth. They were amazed. Secular places. Absolutely amazed. To a company, they said, thank you for writing to us. Thank you for being honest. Thank you that your desire is to pay us off. We will work with you to accomplish that task. And indeed, after over 2 years, of working, making sure he did right, he paid him off. You know, when we're told by Micah to do justly, I want to tell you something. That man is a mensch for Jesus Christ. To do what is right. The idea, a mensch is concerned with what is right and not what is expedient. Or even what everybody else does. Have you ever fallen into that trap? Sometimes we think it's only teenagers or young people who fall into that trap. Simply not true. A mensch for Jesus Christ is one who is not concerned with what other people do. He or she is concerned with doing what is right. To do justly. The second thing we said a mensch is concerned with is mercy. Well, what is mercy? Mercy, the Hebrew carries an idea of kindness, being merciful, favor. It carries the idea of good deeds. Nehemiah tells us that God is ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness. Titus chapter 3, if you wouldn't mind turning there. Titus chapter 3, starting in verse 4. So we know that one of the aspects to being a mensch is to do justly. The second ingredient is to love mercy. And in Titus chapter 3 and verse 4 it says, "But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Kindness and love shown to us by God led God to carry out his plan of redemption. The mercy of God bestowed upon his creation. In the book of Lamentations, there's a very popular verse. Many of us know it is because of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You know, as the Lord Jesus Christ was on the earth, God becoming man, his very creation. And what does he do? He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He raises the dead. He feeds the hungry. Mercy. Great mercy shown upon his creation. Now, you know, we live in an age where we have cell phones. This could be a good thing. It could also be a bad thing. If you've ever driven behind somebody on the phone, car is going, you can hardly wait to get by them. They're in like Never Never Land. But a cell phone obviously can come in handy if your car breaks down. And I don't know about you, before cell phones, I don't know how we ever lived, but we did, some of us anyway, your car breaks down. You open up the front hood, and you kind of wait. You're thinking about walking, whatever. And somebody comes and helps you. Ever happen to anybody at all? Not too many, I guess, huh? Well, it's happened to me. And I want to tell you, that was mercy. I mean, that was mercy. The whole idea that someone would help. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, starting in verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. But ye therefore sober-minded and watch unto prayer, and above all things have fervent love among yourselves, for love shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. We think in terms of mercy. We think in terms of a mensch. A mensch is someone who goes beyond himself to help meet the needs of other people. Again, the Bible is helpful, but I think it's always good to see how people live their Christian life. An example of this, mercy, kindness. There was a missionary family. The missionary family had a number of children. Sometimes they just kind of goes together. If you ever open up your missionary handbook, it's just the way it is. Missionaries, lots of kids. Okay. Missionary family needed a automobile. They were in desperate need of an automobile. There was another family. Family actually was a missionary family themselves, home in the United States. Their son had quite a difficult medical problem. In fact, he was born overseas. When he was born, the cord was wrapped around his neck. The doctors pronounced him dead. His father signed the death certificate, went home, was tired, was anguished. It was obviously a draining day. Had just laid down after hours and going through all that difficulty, the phone rang. Called him up and said, "Your son is alive." Now remember, he just signed the death certificate. Alive. There was a nurse at the hospital who saw the baby and gave it mouth to mouth, and the baby is alive. Unfortunately, physically, he was in terrible shape, could not control bodily anything. His mind, sharp as a tack. In fact, now he's a young man of about 35 years old. But at this time, he had told his father, and when I say told his father, I watched them communicate. He could communicate with his eyes, blinking of his eyes. He could make grunts and groans, and his parents, because they'd been with him, they were able to communicate, actually talk. Today he uses a computer and is able to point, and then the computer speaks for him. But this was several years ago, they didn't have anything like that. Well, when he was 18 years old, after he graduated high school, and he did graduate high school, he started to receive a stipend from the government, Social Security, disability. He put a section of his money aside. And he had found out about this missionary family that was in need of an automobile. And so he communicated to his dad that he wanted to start looking for an automobile for this family. As I said, he had saved his money, and however the Lord was going to lead, that's what he was going to do with it. And so one day, that young man went with his dad. They found a car, told his dad he wanted to drive that car, his father to drive that car over to this missionary family, and he wanted to give it to them. Now, I don't know about you. You know, we all have our problems, all kinds of problems. And sometimes, I would dare say most of the time, we think that our problems are the most difficult problems ever. Now, I can only speak for myself. If you're the one who has a physical ailment, no one hurts like you. If you have a financial difficulty, no one knows how hard it is for you. But I want to tell you, you have to be totally callous to think of a young man whose brain is fine. I mean, he can think clearly, and he's an incredible guy, locked into a body that won't work. And what he's thinking about is how to meet the needs of somebody else. You want to know something? That's a mensch for Jesus Christ. That's the kind of person that we ought to look to and say, I want to be that way. So, we're told that we're to do justly and love mercy. Well, the third thing, in order to become a mensch, we're to walk humbly before God. The idea of humility is being gentle, or even abase, is one of the translations. And in Philippians, we have, of course, the biblical example. And most of you are familiar with those verses in Philippians. Philippians chapter 2 and verses 5 through 8. I'm going to read them for you. Philippians chapter 2 and verses 5 through 8. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So again, in the Bible we have Jesus as our example. And I certainly do not make light of this in any way. Think about it. God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit. Before the earth was even here, it was decreed, determined, decided by God that the second person would come to planet earth, taking on human flesh, forever locking himself into a body. I don't know if you ever thought about that. The second person in the Godhead, from the time he became flesh, would always have flesh. When we see Jesus, we will see him in a body with the marks on his hands and feet. And so, certainly, he is our example of humility. Here is the Son of God washing his disciples' feet. How can we be humble? It's an interesting question. You know, I'm humble and proud of it. Think about that. What do you do to be humble? You know, for the Christian, it's not difficult at all. All you have to do is think B.C. I'm not talking about the comic. B.C. Before Christ. If you want to be maintain a humble spirit. Remember this morning, who do you think you are? What would you be doing today, now, if you weren't a Christian? Where would you be? That thought to me is the most frightening thought I could ever imagine, because I knew what my life was like in my days in college. I knew which road I was on. I don't know what I'd be doing. I don't even know if I'd be alive. I do know this, that in God's sovereign plan, He took me and saved me. So who do I think I am? Am I better than anybody? Oh, no. What about you? You know, testimony time. It used to be Sunday evenings, many places, many assemblies and other churches as well. It used to be testimony time. We've lost some of that. I hope you haven't here. I've been to some places Sunday evening, Wednesday nights, testimony time. What has the Lord done for you? You know, some of us lose that kind of excitement. God does things on a continual basis, but we kind of grow old hat, stale. You know, no big deal. Yet we think of what God was willing to do for us. You know, again, a story. Humility. I used to teach a Bible study when I was living in Chicago. Jewish family. Wonderful Jewish family. Guy was in the haberdashery business for a number of years and went his own way, did his own thing, messed up his life big time. Big time. And then, through a series of circumstances, he became a believer. Turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. Changed his life. And he opened his home on a weekly basis, Friday evenings, and we had a Bible study for the area. And lots of different people would come. And I used to take my kids when they were young, because they used to like to go over the house, and his kids were older, so they had fun toys to play with and that kind of thing. So we went there, and I pulled up in the driveway, the way I had so many Fridays before, only something was wrong. Now we were in Chicago, so cold weather. I don't know what it's like cold here. I don't know what you, maybe 70 cold, 60, I don't know. Chicago, cold is, you know, zero, five below. It was cold outside. And he is standing outside waiting for me. I opened the car and I said, Jerry, what's wrong? He said, well, he said, something is not good. Well, what's wrong? He said, I just lost my job. Now, that sounds like bad news, but okay. Except that maybe some of you can identify. At the time, he was 56 years old. Your prospects of finding another job, comparable situation, becomes slim. At least in the mind of the person who has that happen to him. So I said, Jerry, I'm so sorry. You know, you should have told me. We could have canceled the study. He said, are you out of your mind? He said, I've been waiting for you to come. I want this Bible study. He said, I need this Bible study. But he said, you know, I would really like you to come upstairs with me, and I'd just like to pray. I said, oh, I'd be happy. He said, you've been such an encouragement. He's telling me all this stuff. Okay, fine. So we go upstairs. We both drop down on our knees. And I said, well, Jerry, you go first. And I'll never forget what he prayed. He said, Lord, empty me of myself. I lost my job. You know all that situation. It doesn't matter. You are the only thing that matters. I want to please you. I want this event in my life to accomplish your purpose. Just fill me with the Spirit of God and get rid of all of Jerry. Now it's my turn. I can't incur. What could I possibly? I just said, Amen. Amen. And I hugged Jerry and I said, Jerry, I just can't believe it. I mean, if that would have been for me, Lord, what am I going to do? My mortgage is due in 2 weeks. I got this due. I got two kids. Lord, get me something. That's what I would have prayed. But that's not what Jerry prayed. Humility. The whole idea, Lord, you are so infinitely greater than anything that I know of. My problem is a speck on planet Earth compared to you, whatever you want. I want to tell you something. He's a mensch for Jesus Christ. So what about you? And what about me? Let me give you an example of something maybe or maybe not you can relate to. But I heard this on the radio several years ago. Here's exactly what happened. There was a TV show. Again, I'm dating myself a little bit, but there was a TV show called The Honeymooners. There were 39 episodes of that show, and as I was listening on the radio, they were saying that a group was established called Ralph. Ralph, that was the name of one of the characters, and it was started by a group of people who were very concerned that The Honeymooners was going off the air. It could go off the air. They didn't want that to happen. So, this group got together. In fact, it rose to over 5,000 people in a matter, literally, a month, passing the word, Honeymooners might go off the air. What are we gonna do? We gotta organize. We gotta do everything we can. And so, in a matter of months, 5,000 people came together to make sure that The Honeymooners stayed on the air. Wow. Why am I telling you that story? What difference does it make? That's my point. The Honeymooners going off the air. We have a message. Jesus Christ came to planet Earth, suffered and died. For who? For the world. You mean I can have eternal life? You don't know my past. You don't know my background. Doesn't matter. He died for everyone. If 5,000 people can organize by word of mouth to save a TV show, 5,000 people in a few months, what could people who are mensches for Jesus Christ do in reference to getting a message out that the world so desperately needs? Don't tell me we don't have the resources. I know we have the resources. Don't tell me we don't have the time. I know we have the time. Ah, the issue? The desire. The gumption. The stick-to-itiveness. The willingness. The fortitude. Now, I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. Believe me, I'm not. In fact, whenever I think of this being a mensch, and whenever I think of those examples that I gave to you, I think, am I that way? Am I striving to be that way? And those are the questions I want to ask you this evening. Do you want to be a mensch for Jesus Christ? The examples I gave to you are all people who certainly profess to be saved. That is, they said, Lord, I'm a sinner, I need a Savior, I want to know You. They, all of them, went to church. But when the rubber met the road, when there was a difficulty in that road, they got out of the way and let God do a work in their life. And all I'm asking me first, believe me first, and then you, are you willing to let go, let God do a work in your life to the point where others will say, wow, that guy is something else. I've never seen anybody be that. I could never be that kind of person. That's the best compliment a Christian could get. Because you know what? In our own strength, none of us could be that way. All we have to do is allow Him to do the work in us. So I really ask you a question this evening, and me, afresh. Are you willing to be a mensch for Jesus Christ? I trust you are. A mensch does what's right and not what's expedient. A mensch goes beyond himself to meet the needs of others. A mensch knows what he or she really is and lives a life with a grateful heart. Can you be that kind of person? Let's pray. Father, I don't know all the situations on in this room here this evening. Some of us are hurting people right now. We need someone to come alongside of us. We're crying out for help. We don't even know how to do it. Some of us are riding high. Things have been going very well for us. It seems like we're just clicking and you're doing a great work and we're joyful. We have a wonderful spirit. Things are doing wonderful for us. There's others of us who kind of fall in the middle. We're kind of just going along, allowing things to happen. Father, I pray that regardless of our condition, that you would help us to catch a desire to really become a mensch for Jesus Christ, to live our lives in such a way that others would look at us and even dare to call us peculiar, that others would look at us and see that we're not living life the way most other people do. Rather, we're living life to please you. Lord, I pray that each one of us would endeavor to seek to please you in every single area of our life. And when difficulties or things come up, that we won't act according to the flesh, but rather we'd act the way you would have us act and accomplish your purpose in every situation. Lord, help us to be men and women who will be counted as mensches for you. In Jesus' name.